Fresh Takes. Welcome to Don't Evolve Me, the place like Ash, Cushions, Pikachu, we don't evolve. We just level up. Here to talk The Last of Us Season 2, Episode 6, The Price. Or the way I labeled this, The Price is Right with Michael Schumer.
Price is Right? Jesus.
That's the first thing I came up to. Pixel Loose, hello.
How's it going, man? How's it going?
I'm excited to talk this episode because this is very much the thing that you didn't want to happen, and I very much watched it a second time and actually kind of liked the episode.
I got and hot takes on this one.
You sent a few. You sent a few. Some of them were like season three talk, season two. I feel like it's like the after season two video.
I think one of the elephants in the room that kind of just came out after this episode is the fact that they're saying this, there might be a season four, and I just...
Oh, there is. I told
based
you.
Based off the pace they're going, you. I just don't I know you. How they're going to do that without... They would have really had to slow down this season for that to make sense. For me.
Yeah. I'm at a place where, like, I guess, like, I'll cover this more later in the episode, but I have thoughts.
Okay.
Good and bad. It's one of those things where, like, this episode where we haven't finished season two, I have a lot of thoughts about where this season's going, where the show is going in general. And I wouldn't have gone about the show the way they've went about it, but I also don't know what they're going for, and I want to talk more about that later on. But yeah, first reactions of the flashback episode, the episode I think that like we were very much maybe the most looking forward after like that episode of The Last of Us, one that you were afraid for because you had a feeling that the scene that you didn't want to happen until what would be season four, which you were probably hoping was season three, at the very last scene of the show happened in this episode. And it happened in a way that didn't happen in the game, and it was a little, it was different. It was a different way they showed this scene. And I have thoughts on it, good and bad.
So
we gotta get into what happened.
Yeah, Michael. I'm gonna launch, otherwise you go ahead. I'm gonna eat my jelly beans and seethe for a little bit.
Yeah. Are they black?
Absolutely not. This is like a variety pack of all the good stuff.
Oh, so. Man, dude.
I love birthday cake.
I have bought in just straight up black jelly beans before. Yeah, I'm that person, Michael.
That's horrifying.
No, it was delicious.
Can I ask, who hurt you?
Who hurt me? Oh, man.
That's a loaded topic.
It is. I mean, I'm just like, that's for a different episode. But I'm like, well, it kind of relates to this episode, honestly. It kind of does. Anyway, what happened on The Last of Us Season 2, Episode 6, The Price is Right? Joel flashback. A flashback that I was very confused at first. Tony Dalton confronts a young Joel.
Wait, hold
Tony
on.
Tony Dalton.
I don't know what he told. I saw Lalo. I saw...
Yeah,
I saw that. I know. I'm just. I was like, I literally, when he showed up, I'm just going to interrupt real quickly. When he showed up, I had the Leonardo DiCaprio pointing with the beard. I can mimic it.
Yeah, I know him with like the Jay Miller, and I'm just like,
yeah.
Is that Joel? No, that's Joel's dad. Okay, and I'm just like, did they just throw this random scene in because Tony Dalton's like, I'm in, and you're just like, fuck, we got to get him in somewhere. Or did they, I don't know. I have more thoughts on this specific scene, and actually, like, I feel like I get it now. But Tony Dalton confronts a young Joel about a drug deal gone bad. Joel states that he won't lay a finger on Tommy. Joel then grabs a beer, gives it to his son, confesses that his father beat him more than he's ever beat his kids, and basically just says to Joel that he hopes that he'll do better than his kids. And that was more or less the scene. I mean, we can get into the details of like what they did exactly, and the fact they would be in juvie, his dad's a cop. But yeah, a scene that I wasn't expecting Tony Dalton, but great to see him. He owned the role like he does always. Moving on. I have like very few highlights because I literally just went from like flashback to flashback to flashback. So bear with me a little bit. 15th birthday. Ellie burns her bite mark on, I believe, a hot pipe.
I thought it was it doesn't matter. It was like a hot pan or something, but yeah.
I thought it was like a hot pipe, and I don't know. She burns it. She's high off painkillers. Tommy brings her back. Joel gets a bigot cake for Eli, which I didn't really like realize how evil that cake was. Because I was like, oh, he misspelled it. I'm like, wait, no, Seth baked that cake. It's a bigot cake. He did it on purpose.
Oh, wait, hold up. I'm going to contend with that real quick. I don't necessarily know if it was because we don't know if Ellie's been open about her. Because we don't even find out till later on in the episode that she's a lesbian. Like, or Joel doesn't even know until like...
Oh.
3 years later. So I'm assuming it was like kind of on the DL.
I took it as a mistake, but then I was like, wait a second, the bigot made this. Of course it's, I don't know. I took it as like he did it on purpose. I feel like at least that's what the writers probably like, you know.
I didn't think like that, but that's an interesting theory.
Yeah, I feel like the writers indicated that it was like, hey, this is Seth's like bigotry coming out. Maybe it was purposeful, maybe it was not. Direct, indirect, who knows? Either way, Joel gets a bigger cake for Eli. Ellie just takes it in one bite. They laugh over it. Joel gives her a custom guitar and then plays Future Days for her.
Before we go any further, that's the most based GIF I've ever seen in my life. If somebody made me a fucking guitar, I would, I mean, as a, I think you know this, I play guitar, yeah. And I would literally lose my shit. And when he showed him cutting the bone for the bridge, mm-hmm. I was like, this man is so fucking goated for this. Jesus.
Dude, he like, carved a moth just because, yeah. Like, oh, she keeps drawing these. I don't know why she keeps drawing these, but, like, it means something to her. So I'm gonna put that on. I'm like, dude, that's fucking dope.
Mm-hmm.
That's a dope-ass gif. For an even more dope-ass gif, the gif that we were waiting for this entire season, 16th birthday. Joel takes Ellie to a museum. Ellie gets to climb a dinosaur. And in the museum, we see her try out Apollo 15, try on a helmet, and get to relive the experience of an astronaut. And for us, the people who played the game, part two, big moment for us, because this is like one of the like standout flashbacks, was playing this scene. It was only like a 5-10 minute scene in this show, but very much it was like an hour gameplay for us. But more or less, that was kind of it. 17th birthday, Joel stumbles into Ellie's room while she's doing stuff with Kat. Ellie gets has a tattoo on her arm of moths. Joel kind of stumbles in, freaks out. Very average, typical dad from like the early 2000s. The, oh, you're doing drugs, you're doing this.
That line all was actually hilarious. All the teenage stuff at once. Drugs, playing around the girl, getting his tattoo. And I was like,
It's like, yeah. A little bit. It's like, no, you're not in your right mind. Get out of here.
What would you do if, okay, I mean, minus like, I think just in general, like, your kid fooling around, you're going to be like, as a parent, you're gonna be like, oh,
what is this, 17th? I mean, it's one of those, like, you're mad that you walked into that, especially when you're trying to surprise her for, like, a birthday, and you're like, you know, like, I think Joel's gonna react the way most parents are gonna react in that scene. But he does obviously say a bunch of shit that, like, not great.
Yeah.
But, like, what a stereotypical parent would do in this scenario, which I think is really interesting.
Mm.
And I really... There's a dynamic here at play that I just think it's fucking... I'll explain it later. Just remind me, okay? But I love the dynamic at play here. 19th birthday. Ellie's getting a little bit more suspicious of Joel's truth about Salt Lake City and what happened. They go on patrol together. This is one of her first patrols, and they encounter Eugene, or they get called for an emergency, and they end up encountering Eugene.
Did we miss a birthday?
Was there an 18th birthday?
I don't think they remember.
I think they skipped an 18th birthday.
Okay, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I think they did. Okay.
I was questioning it too, but I'm like, no, they skipped an 18th. We don't know what happened on her 18th birthday. Nothing significant, apparently. Or it's a season 3 thing. I don't know. You can't do all the birthdays, no. Michael. She got sick, okay? Don't get greedy.
That's still one of the funniest lines to come out of this pod series. I just want you to know that. What did you say? He lived to 40. Don't get greedy.
They lived to 60.
In the apocalypse. Yeah. Don't get greedy.
All right. So they encounter Eugene. He's bitten. Wants to go see his wife one last time. Joel's like, he can't do that. Ellie's just like, no, he's fine. He's got an hour left. Let's go get him. And then he's like, promise me, Joel, we're going to go get him. I'm going to go get the horses. You're going to lead him here. And he's like, I promise, Ellie, we'll do this. In the very similar way that he promised in Salt Lake City. Like, same look, same the way he said it. Joel then does the opposite. Takes Eugene to a really nice spot on the lake, overseeing some mountains. And really is like a giant. It was a beautiful shot.
Mm.
Like, those mountains are fucking gorgeous. And I think, like, that needs to be remembered, that Joel, like, the dude cares. He cares in the way that he doesn't want, like, you don't want him to care necessarily, but the dude fucking cares. Takes him to the spot and shoots him like Old Yeller, more or less. Tries to comfort Eugene. Eugene's asking, like, hey, no, I need Gail. I'm afraid. I'm terrified. I need her. And he's like, if you love someone, you can picture their face. And, you know, he sits there and he pictures her face, and then the birds go flying. And that was it. New Year's, or actually, no, we're moving ahead. Ellie is mortified. Joel just broke the promise. She's thinking, Joel's telling her, hey, we're going to tell Gail exactly what she needs to know. Go back. Joel tells Gail pretty much the opposite of what happened, that he was brave, that he was strong, that this was his idea. And Ellie calls him out and is like, no, he's lying. Like, he wanted to come back. He had time. He shot him anyway. And he lied to me about it. Gail slaps him. And yeah, New Year's Eve, Maria states, hey, Joel, Uncle Joel, you're very important to this community. Thank you for everything you've done. Seth then calls out Dina and Ellie's a scene that we've seen in episode one of season 2. Joel rushes out, pushes Seth. Ellie calls him out. And then on the porch scene, the scene that you hate that was in this episode, Ellie runs past Joel. Joel's kind of devastated by this, but then Ellie comes back out. Ellie calls out Joel for being an asshole, confronts him about his lies, says, like, hey, if you lie to me anymore, like, we're done. Like, we're over. Like, you're no, like, I'm going to separate from you. And Joel painfully admits it. Killed the fireflies. They potentially had a cure. And said that, you know, like, I'll do it. And she calls him an asshole. He's like, this is, hey, if it's, the price is you leaving me, and I had a chance to do it all over again. Or if I had to make that choice again, I'd do it all over again. And she's like, because you're selfish. No, because I love you. Love you more than you ever know. In ways that you won't understand until you have kids of your own. And we go to present day. Ellie returns to the theater after brutally torturing Nora over Joel's death. All right, Michael. 5 questions to appease Michael.
I don't even know if it's 5 questions.
I'll start with one.
All right, start with one.
I'm starting it off. 5 questions to appease Michael, or 5 questions to fucking annoy Michael. How much did you hate the use and change of that scene with Joel at
the end. I think it shows, in my opinion, a complete and fundamental misunderstanding of the source material, if you want my honest opinion. I
figured that's where you're going with
it. I think it's a complete slap in the face to the emotional journey that Ellie goes through. It's not even that I hate that they had it this episode. I could accept it. This is a question I was going to ask, so we'll have a twofer here. The part to me that is just simply unacceptable from a writing standpoint, given the story's beats itself. So Ellie confronts Joel with this huge bomb of, you killed the Fireflies. And he admits it, and she's like, okay, I forgive you. That's definitely an understatement, but
I forgot that scene too. The whole, I don't know if I can forgive you, but I want to try.
Yeah, that, I don't mind that they had, like, the porch scene, I understand it from, okay, so if you ask me from, like, a TV perspective, I understand why they had it there. I was resigned to the fact they were going to do it, but I absolutely hate that they coincided it with her confronting him about the Fireflies. That should not have been, like, logically, in the game, so this is spoilers for the game. I won't say when, but this scene, the porch scene happens, I'll say much later in the game. And I would say, if you haven't played the game...
At the end.
Yeah.
Sorry, that is spoilers. Yeah.
It happens much later in the game. And I feel like
It defines the game.
It defines the game. It is one of the most tragic and beautiful things I've ever experienced in any story. I've just never had something made me feel the way that scene made me feel. I will every now and then put it on, start crying, because it's just so beautiful. But I've never been so touched by a specific narrative arc other than that moment. And I feel like them tying that in with her confronting him about the Fireflies, it just doesn't land for me. It's too much at once. It's like she should have done it right when she confronted him about Eugene. They should have had, you know, Gail walk off and then have her be like, you fucking lied to me. Admit it or we're done. Then you have that 9-month gap and it works. Like, if you think about it logically, she's had time to stew on it, sit on it, and decide. It's just too much. It's just like she goes from being like, oh, I knew you'd, like, it's one thing to know somebody did something and to have them confirm it. You know, like, she suspected throughout the game that he did that. And then she confronts him, and then there's that break. In the game, there's I think it's implied to be like a 9-month to a year break between the two of them. And that...
It's a decent amount of time.
Yeah.
Like, they're still around. It's just it's a very fractured relationship. Yep. Like, you know, they're still crossing their paths. They're still saying each, like... But there's not much interaction.
Yeah.
I watched this episode once, and I was kind of turned off the first time I watched it. I thought it was, like, a really good episode. I thought the scene was really good for what it was, just based on, like, the scene alone. But overall, like, I remember just being a little bit disappointed because I'm like, this wasn't... I feel like the game handled it a lot better. I watched it the second time, and I watched it with a lot more purpose, because I remember the first scene with Tony Dalton, and I was like, why is he here? Like, is he just here to be here, or, like, what's the point of this scene? And the whole point is to kind of establish Joel's perspective, like, what Joel's coming from. He comes from an abusive home, he's trying to change, but he, like, doesn't know. And once I started, like, kind of understanding this episode, I started really fucking loving this episode. Like, I understand this scene the second time around so much more than the first time, because what they're trying to do is establish just, like, generational trauma that Joel has, and he's trying to change it, and you see throughout these 5 years him trying to address it. But you have to realize that he has, like, he's from 2003. He's trying to live a life that he never had, which is the life of a father, in, like, being at a home and, like, having this everyday life of being at home, having a job and coming back and having to deal with teenage bullshit that Ellie's going through, right? The typical things that parents have to do. But what's so different with Ellie is that Ellie's not looking for a father. She's looking for a father figure, but she's not looking for a father, where Joel's looking for a daughter. He's looking for that replacement of Sarah. He's looking for that life he's never got, that he lost out on. Whereas Ellie, she didn't grow up in the era that Joel did. She grew up in the apocalypse, right? She's looking for a partner. She's looking for that role, or that role model, that mentor. She's looking for like an Obi-Wan Anakin Skywalker type of relationship where it's more partner, young mentor, old mentor. Joel's looking for father, daughter. And so you have this like really interesting dynamic happening between the both of them. And so seeing this between the flashbacks and how it changes, because as Ellie grows up, she wants more space, but not just because she's, you know, a teenager. She's growing more distrusting of Joel, and Joel's becoming more of that father figure rather than a partner. And we see this, and we see this throughout this whole season too. Which, so if you take the context of what this episode is going for, and you just take it around that, I really love this last scene. I think it hits for this episode. That being said, for what it does in the game, is so fucking powerful that it's hard to be like, why would you take that away? Because that is a really good, powerful ending for your narrative, for your story, and you took it away for a powerful ending for one episode. And this is Neil Druckmann who's doing this, right? Not Craig Mazin. This is Neil Druckmann. Like, that's who's doing it. He's rewriting this. And it's so hard for me to be like, oh, this is like, they made a mistake here. I don't know if they made a mistake. I think they did a really good job for this episode. I think it landed for this episode. But I'm like, what are you going to do now? And so, where you say it's a writing mistake, I'm like, it feels like it is. But I don't know how they're ending it. And we won't know for 4 years, which is devastating for us. It's kind of tragic in a way that we have to wait at least 4 years to know how they're going to end this. And so if they have another ending that hits as well or better, and I don't know how they're going to do, how they would do it better, but if they can capulate that same ending in a different way, I don't think this is necessarily a mistake, but we have no idea. And it's hard to think that it's not, because the game ended it so well. So I'm like with you at the same time. I'm like, I really love this scene. I love watching it this first time. I love watching it the second time. And they changed it in ways that like, it bothered me, because I'm like, it's different. But I'm like, I also think it really works for this episode. I also just don't know if this episode needed to make that change, because the story was so good in the first place. I don't mind it all being smushed together, but when you bring up the point of, hey, it would have worked better if they would have been happening with like the Gale scene, and then 9 months later, then she confronts him. I agree with that. I think, yeah, it's too much. You should have spread it over time.
I also think, so I know you're cooking, but I have a couple things
Go for it.
So a couple things here too. In the game, this is what was lost. In the game, when Ellie finds out the truth, she's literally sick. She's like, I think she vomits. She's just so...
I don't know if she vomits, but yeah, like, disgusted.
She's just so, like, absolutely horrified that he did that. And, like, in here, she's just kind of like, oh, you're so... It's like, it's... In a way, I would have expected the game scene to happen in the show. And then, you know what I mean? Like, I would have expected it to be flipped. Because in the game, there is such gratuitous violence of you just being this fucking killing machine. And you just don't really give a shit. Whereas in the show, they made a point to show how devastating it is that Joel killed like 20 fucking people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then, so for Ellie, just kind of like, oh, you're like, just to sum it up with, oh, you're just selfish. And it's like, oh, so that's one criticism I have, is I feel like it's just too quick of that shift, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
For how bit huge of a thing. And then I'm going to say one thing. This is going to highly into my second point question, whatever. I just feel like the writing was just really shit. This, honestly, I've been feeling kind of lackluster about it the last few episodes. But some of the dialogue has been pretty like,
it's,
did an intern write this? Like, she literally said, I wanted to wear short sleeves. Like, I mean, you literally just said that to Dina, like, last episode. And then you're saying it again here. And then just for me, they completely butchered the subtext of that last scene of, no, because I love you. He didn't even say that in the game. It's just implied. You're smart enough to be like, this is their relationship they have.
I feel like this is Neil Druckmann's like redo, in the sense that like, you guys didn't understand the scene in the game. So I'm going to just write it completely dense so no one can like mistake in the
God,
scene.
I just hate that though. And it's like if you're too media illiterate to fucking then this is not the
I agree with you. I do think some of the writing's just a little bit on the nose. It's a little like it doesn't feel like elite writing it sometimes. So, and I'm not really giving you elite review because my mind's like blanking a little bit of like, how do I put this? I really like the episode, but there's so many times where I'm just like, I feel like he's trying too hard to make the point of like, the message feels like it's more in your face on the nose of, hey, my, this generational trauma and trying to overcome. And, you know, this difference between like Joel being the stereotypical dad, like it just, it feels a little bit on the nose, but I'm not, I don't hate it. Like that's like my only real complaint other than like the overall, what it does for the whole overall story. I have a lot of questions. I don't think I would have wrote this season this way. I have a different way that I would have done it. And I think this leads to my second question of, would season two been better if we would have just made episode six the entirety of season two and then we end it with episode one and two and it ends with Joel's death? Like, I feel like, wouldn't that be a better season two?
No.
I think so.
I would say, so here's my thing. Here's
more
my thing.
Pedro Pascal.
It would, yeah, but I mean, sure. I'm sure they are like, "Ooh, we got some budget. We got some production a little bit here." So, well, pardon me. Sorry. I'm just going to quick product plug. I'm drinking some good old Drekker beer. I was telling Jake, I don't know if I said this on the pod, but every time we have an episode, I think there's been one episode where I did not have a beer, but every time I have a Drekker beer here. So if you're in Fargo, hit them up. If you're not in Fargo and it's in your store, good stuff. So anyways, I'm going to drink my beer and cook for a little bit here. So one, I don't think it would work having it like that because I think it would. What's beautiful about this story, and this is where my biggest problem with this season and where they're going with, I think, the rest of the show, is you have this juxtaposition between Ellie's descent into rage, hatred, grief, self-loathing, justice, revenge, whatever you want to call it, just this path, this dark, dark spiral, juxtaposed with the kind of would've, should've, could've's. And remember, like, if you've ever lost somebody really close to you, that's where I think this game is beautiful. Like, if you've lost somebody close to you, you've been there. Maybe not exactly in Ellie's shoes, but, like, I know when I this is where I'll show my share my personal thing. I had a complicated relationship with my dad. I miss him, but we had our differences. We were very different people. And so I related a lot to watching Ellie go through, man, I'm, like, tearing up a little bit here. Go through her journey in this show, in the game specifically, because it so closely lined mine, where you have this rage and this anger that how unfair life is and that this is happening. And you have these moments where you remember like good things about this person, and then you they're like in your own mind, you're remembering some things that you didn't like, and you're grappling with there's like a sense of a lack of closure that you get when you lose somebody, when you have that kind of complicated relationship with them. That I think is just completely lost here. I don't know how you can get it back. Like, it's too.
I agree with that, and that's we were talking about how part two did this, how part two was going to work in a TV format, and I think the truth is there needed to be some type of change. The truth is, like, part two worked as a game. Part two as a season two. There needed to be a lot of changes. And I think you hit the whole part, the whole theme, the whole thing about part two. And this is somewhat of a spoiler, but somewhat not. And if you don't want to hear it, just skip 30 seconds. There's a button right there. Just hit it. The game is about rage and grief, but the game is about forgiveness. The game is about Ellie forgiving Joel for what Joel did, not getting revenge for his death. And the game ends with Joel, or her forgiving Joel, finally. And that's when she's able to move on. And that's where that scene comes in, right?
I would fight you a little bit on that. I think she's forgiven Joel. It's about understand.
I'm just I know.
But hear me. I think there's more to it than that, though. I think it's also about. Yeah, I think it's also about, like, she had forgiven Joel already. It's about accepting. I don't think she's dealing with the forgiveness element. I think that journey had happened for her. It was mostly the forgiveness. I think. Oh god, this is where it gets fudged. Forgiveness, but not. I would say it's not for Joel. It's about. I think it's. Herself? It's self-forgiveness, because it's like this idea of, like, I've wasted so much time. I could have had, you know, one more year with him. And that's what her journey on of revenge on Abby is like. She feels like she hate in some ways. It's like Ellie hates herself, I think.
Yeah.
Because she's like, I fucking wasted this. But she has this perfect person that she can blame this on. I think this, like, in real world, like, sometimes you lose somebody to illness. Somebody you might have had a mixed relationship with, and it's like there is nobody to blame. There's just, you just find you're lost in your own thoughts, and you're like, oh, I fucked up. Or maybe you do, like, I know when I lost my dad, I didn't realize it at the time, but I was in a dark place. I was just angry at everybody and everything, and, like, didn't really think anything of it, but I just remember I was ranting to my mom about some stupid work thing, and she had just said, she had basically said something about, like, is this really about your dad? And that just broke me right there, because I had that click moment of, that's what this is like. It was a few months afterwards, and I never really processed it. And grief has a fucking number on you, man.
It does.
And I think that's where I think it's truly, truly tragic the direction this show adaptation has taken, because I was truly hoping this was going to be the kind of, maybe this is my own fault, right? Like, I get the show's going to do its own thing. But I felt like the game did such a beautiful job of showing how powerful grief is in our lives. And it's, to quote another famous show that talks about grief, is like, what is, I'm going to butcher this. What is he saying? What is grief, but if not.
What is grief, but love persevering?
Exactly. And, like, I think we lost that this episode. I think we've been kind of losing it this whole season. But I think this episode is really...
Are we losing it, or are we seeing it in a new perspective?
I think it's just really dumbed down. That's what I would say. I think it's really I think it's really unfortunate. I get why they did it.
I get it.
But I think... And I understand... I understand that they probably couldn't have done this the way the game does.
No.
But I just think there maybe was different avenues that were not explored. That's my problem with it. Like...
Yeah. I get you. I'm weirdly with you. I'm like in the camp of, like, I think this works for the episode. I think this works. I think, like, I enjoy it for what it is, but it's hard to not to think that it could have, like, it's hard not to think, like, why didn't you just do it the way the game did it? Why didn't you do closer to the game? And the answer is, we don't know. We don't know what their end product is. We don't know what their end story is. And maybe there's a change that we're going to enjoy even more, or maybe it's a change that, like, gives us a different version of a story, you know, that is worth telling. Because here's the thing. This is the way I see it. I don't necessarily know if I want part two of the game exactly bit by bit. And this is where, like, I wish they kind of would have just done what I kind of proposed. I wish episode 6 was just season 2. And the reason why I think this is it'd be really cool just to get a Joel Ellie season of them trying to bond, having this, like, weird dynamic of trying to set in with Jackson, giving us more details, giving us more story with Jesse, giving her more it would have been really cool, because that ending, and I know it's very different from part two, and I know it's a whole different story from part two, but I think that's the point. Like, in a game, you have to play when the action is there, right? You have, like, it's only interesting once the conflict is there and you have to take control of the character and, you know, shoot some shit. Or, you know, more or less, you know, do game actions. But in the show, you can tell more of a story. Season, like, going through the flashbacks, going through the 5 years of Jackson would be really boring game. There's not a lot going on action-wise. This whole episode was a flashback of Jackson. There wasn't a whole lot of action. If I don't even think there is any action.
I think that's why they couldn't do it that way, though. Because there isn't, like, a call to action for the show to... Like, because what would you be watching the show and you'd be like, oh, it's a character drama. But that's not really how the first season.
That's exactly what it would be, though. And this is where I'm just like, if you're going to change this much, why wouldn't you just change it completely?
See, that is a fair criticism. I can get behind that.
And that's where I'm at. I'm like, I feel like you could have just told a really good episode 6, and like, it didn't have to be 7 episodes. It could be 8. It could be 10. It could have been 6. And then you end it with episode 1 of the season. You end it with episode 2. That's your finale. Ends with Joel's death. Boom. You have to sit with that for 2 years. Right? And then you get to Seattle. And then you split up the Seattle into 2 different parts. You get Abby, you get Ellie. And you get that final, you know, confrontation when that happens. And I'm not going to go any further than that. So, right? And then you get California in season 4. And then we can't go any further because I'm realizing I'm, like, spoiling it as I'm saying it. But that's how I would have done it.
Hard in the paint there. So here is... Okay, well, if we went into what we'd get so off on a tangent. So, Mary's
we'll save it. Save it for the end. Save that stuff for the end of the season.
What do we think about the fact they're doing 3 seasons? Ugh.
I love it. I love it. I'm for it.
This is where I'm just like fundamentally. I'm like
they had to.
They don't have to. They chose to. Here's the thing. I would not be opposed to it, but we're talking a 4-year at minimum, if we're lucky, 4 years to find the ending of the story. And why are they doing this? There's like a couple of obvious reasons. Part three, I can understand that, but I would rather them do it well so that a part three, because I feel like part three is going to have a pretty substantial time jump. I would be shocked if it's anything less than like 5 to 10 years.
We're getting right old now. Abby, or not old, well, maybe old Ellie.
Yeah, and you're sitting the spoileritos right now. I guess I don't know. Who knows how the show will end? She's just like, shoot. We'll put a spoiler warning.
Warning. I may or may not spoil some things. I infer a lot of things. I don't know. Like, the show is still going to go on. Joel's dead. Spoiler. If I spoil that for you, what are you doing here? We are definitely like way off these 5 questions.
Yeah. But
so I want to
go ahead. Yeah.
I want to rail this in. Big question that I have: was Joel right about Eugene? Not the lie to Ellie. Not the lie to Ellie. But was he right about Eugene?
I can't see. This is where I'm torn. He's not wrong. Okay, here's what I would say. He's not wrong that he killed him, because it seemed like he was starting to turn a little bit faster there, because he said he felt cold and he was getting a little disoriented.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't blame him there. He's an asshole for lying about it. That's where I'm like, you are a piece of shit for that. You should have just owned it and been like, that's the whole thing. Is like, Joel doesn't want to face the consequences for his actions. That's his problem. That fundamental problem as a character. Yes, he struggles with that a lot. Flaw. Yep. And it's like, that's why Ellie was pissed. If he had owned it, that had changed everything right there. He had said, I wanted him to lie, but he was starting to change really quickly. Like, I know, like, he was, you know, getting disoriented. He was saying he's turning really cold. And I was deeply concerned that he was going to turn on the way here. I brought him to a lake so he could have some good final moments. He wanted me to tell, like, and he should have been honest. That's where I was upset with him. Yeah. Like, I was like, Joel, what are you doing, dude?
I think Joel's like this weird character where, like, he's doing the right things. He's just going about it the worst, like, in a bad way.
His problem is that, like, he's trying to protect people that without asking for their consent.
Yeah. He's very old school about it. This is like, he reminds me of like something like my parents, not necessarily my parents would do, but like that way of like, we're here to comfort people, not give them the truths. And it's like, no, fuck that. Tell them the truth. Don't comfort them. Like, you're being a coward.
Well, especially there, like, she's like, oh, thank you, and so gracious. And it's like, how can you, like, there's why Ellie is so pissed at you. It's like, just own it. Be like, I'm sorry. Like, I made my choice. Like,
but Joel did it because he's a coward. He's a coward of facing emotions. And this is something that, like, a lot of parents and a lot of people in that generation, that Gen X, I don't know if Joel's a boomer or Gen X, right. But, like, in that generation, it seems like he's Gen X. But it seems like this is something that, like, this generation fails to really deal with, which is emotions. Being accountable, being like, you know what, I fucked up, I'm lying. Like, he wasn't wrong about Salt Lake. He did the right thing. They were going to kill her and they didn't give her a choice. Like, he never brings that up. Like, they were going to kill you. You didn't have a choice. We don't know. We don't know if there was going to be a cure.
And they weren't going to wake her up to let her have a choice. She would have said yes, but that would have destroyed him.
Yeah, and it would have. And, like, if she said yes and Joel would have done it, then yes, he's a complete asshole. But he did the right thing, so they didn't have a choice.
Oh, right? Also.
They didn't sign up for that. I just do want to finish up. I do think he was right about Eugene. I think I thought he was right kind of from the beginning, because it's like, of course Eugene's going to be like, let me see my wife. But, like, so many bad things could have happened there. And, like, I don't know Eugene's importance, but he's gone. Like, he's dead. As soon as he's bit, he's dead. You're risking Joel, Ellie, Gail, and the town for Eugene's comfort.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as you like, as much as like in Eugene's spot, I know like he would want that. And the humane thing to do in like the person, the people pleasing person, like you would want to help him. The right thing to do was to shoot him in the head right fucking there. It's like, it may be inhumane. And Joel, I think, did a pretty humane thing. I'm going to take you to a very beautiful spot. I will let her know anything she needs to know. And then I'm going to give you time to think about her. And then it's going to happen.
Also, you just gave me like a brain blast moment real quick.
Brain blast.
Yep. So early on in the season, he had said, I don't even know why she's mad at me. And like very first episode, Joel had said that. And I was thinking in the game, I'm like, yeah, you do, you fucking motherfucker. You know exactly why she's mad. And now I'm like, oh, yeah, that actually does track then. Because they didn't have that final confrontation.
Yeah.
Which I don't. God, I keep going. Okay. Yeah, this is, it's more stuff.
I know. It's one of those, it's like, I wish they didn't go about it this way, because this is not the way I would have went about it.
I just feel like I went to a really nice restaurant. I was all excited, got gussied up, and I'm like, I'm feeling good about myself. And I sit down at the table, and they're like, okay, we're ready for your first dish. And I'm like, let's go. And then they bring out, like, stale fries. Oh, okay, that's a little, okay. I mean, I like fries. Can you get? Oh, you warmed them up in the microwave. Okay, yeah, they're good, I guess. And then they bring out your burger, and it's like missing a chunk, and it's got a little mold on it. And you're like,
I don't
know if I like this.
Give this episode a little bit more respect. Come on now, stale fries bitten. This isn't a shit episode. This isn't horribly written.
Okay, fine. Just the fries were warm. I'll give you the fries were warm, but the burger.
Stop. Let me redo your analogy here, Michael. All right. Okay, you're going to a nice restaurant. You're looking forward to it. It's one of your favorites. One of those, like, you go there often. You're like, God damn, this pizza, the cheese is just gorgeous. But the thing is, you order this pizza. I'm changing it to a pizza restaurant because it's the metaphor I'm going with. Instead of like what you're used to, They changed the cheese. The cheese is completely different than before. Like, it's the same. It's mozzarella, but it's a different brand, different style, and the taste is just off. And it's like, you're eating it, and you're like, I hate this because it's not what I want. It's not what I asked for. It's not what I signed up for. But at the same time, it's not necessarily bad. It's just not what you wanted. It might be bad. You have to wait a couple months until you try it again. In this scenario, it's we have to wait 4 years until the finale of the story.
That's just killing me right now.
I know. I'm not saying that they're right here. I don't know. I don't know until we get that ending, because I want to know what they cook up. And like, I trust this team, but it is a little on the nose. All right. I do think Joel was right. Does this episode further show the growth of Seth, and also highlight future comparisons to another character, Seth the Bigot?
You might have to elaborate on this. I don't know if I follow.
So in episode one and episode two, we get this whole mini arc with Seth, right?
Yep.
Something different than in the game. We get this whole, like, Seth pushes her, you know, or not pushes, but he gets pushed, called them dykes. Mm-hmm. He made bigot sandwiches, which everything that's bigoted rhymes, by the way.
Also, side note with that, we got robbed of that line in the show. I don't know if you ever caught that.
What's that?
They never said the bigot sandwich line. That's like one of the funniest lines in the game.
Ah, it is. Bigot sandwich, yeah. Bigot cake.
We know. We understand.
I hate everything that rhymes with my name. Steak, bigot. I'm going to be called Bigot Chick now.
Bigot Chick right. Eats the bigot cake.
Stop. But, like, I was just like, Seth has some growth here. Like, we already, like, seen the growth of Seth in these two episodes, but we get to further see it because, like, his bigotry was, like, kind of there. Like, but we get to see some growth. First it was Eli, then he made a full cake. I don't know if he made the same cake, but, like, and then in episode two, of course, he's the one who let them out and kind of got them to Seattle. But, yeah, I just feel like, maybe this is just a statement. The show just feels like it showed the growth of Seth. I'm gonna switch it up to the question that I kind of sent to you, and I questioned it during the episode. You said you have an answer. If Jackson has a functioning hospital, more or less, why doesn't Joel, Ellie, and Tommy and/or Maria share this information with doctors and for a potential cure?
Yeah.
I don't get it, because I feel like this would just save a whole bunch of fucking grief for everyone involved.
All right, here's what we're going to do right now.
Okay.
1 second, I'm going to drink a beer.
And you're going to cook?
Got like 2 sips left in that. All right, I'm ready. First off,
man.
It's too sour. Ugh. I like the, also, that's a sipper. That's a sipper. It's too like sugary. I don't know how to explain it. Whatever.
The college self in me is very disappointed.
I don't know. If you had this, you'd understand. It's like, I'd get gut rot if I didn't. I don't feel like wanting to puke my guts out in the bathroom because it's too much sugar in my tummy. Anyways, all right. First off, fundamental problem with that. Already, right off the bat, Ellie is led to believe at the beginning of the season that being immune is not a rare thing. It's a common thing. So fundamentally, yes. It structurally, from the story-wise, it would never be able to happen because Jesse can't tell, or Joel can't tell everybody she's immune. Because he already told her that it doesn't matter that she's immune.
Well, yeah, this is like, you know, what the idea of, like, Joel doesn't, like, tells her that, like, hey, I was lying about that thing in Salt Lake City. But yes, okay. Go on.
Number two, practicality. They might have a hospital, but they don't have a world-renowned neurosurgeon or anybody. They have people that... might have some medical understanding or even be like a doctor, but they likely do not have the equipment to do it.
Probably not.
Okay, so there's number two, practicality.
Yep.
Another version of the practicality is if you go tell people that have been living in this post-apocalyptic world, there's this girl that is immune and she can't get bit. Look, she got bit right here. There's going to be people that are like Joel, and are like, oh, I'm not chancing that shit in my town. Whether it's right or wrong, they're just going to be like, I'm going to not eliminate the demon chance.
Hear me out. Okay. I just asked this because, like, they do more or less have a functioning hospital. Like, Ellie was in a functioning hospital for 3 months, right? Mm-hmm. The reason why I bring this up is Jackson in the game is, like, hundreds, maybe a little over 1,000, right? Jackson in the show is thousands of people. Mm-hmm. Like, you have thousands of people. If you can have someone in a hospital like room and environment for 3 months, and you have that type of, like, you have enough people for that, then it is likely to assume that there is at least smart enough people, because, like, in the game, the person who worked on Ellie only had a bachelor's and medical, he was a surgeon, but nothing more. He had no, No, he's literally just a surgeon. Like, he's not this, like, miracle person, like, person who works on... Maybe it's different. I don't know. But from, like, what I've learned, he's just a surgeon. Like, the Fireflies most likely wasn't getting a cure. You're looking into it.
I am.
But, but from like my perspective, it's like if you, let's say Joel, Ellie, Tommy, right? They know this information. They know that she's immune. If you have a functioning hospital and you're like, hey, we went to the Fireflies for immune. They said they had to kill her. Why wouldn't they look into, talk to the medical people in Jackson and be like, hey, what's the likelihood of getting a potential cure? They're building humanity. They have thousands of people there. To me, I'm just like, why wouldn't you look into this? And not just look into this, look by looking into this, getting Ellie involved, the more likelihood Joel can admit and be like, hey, I did lie to you. They weren't giving you a they were going to kill you. They didn't give you a choice. Of course, if they did, you probably would have said yes, and it probably would have, you know, fucking, I probably would have shot myself. Like, if, like, that, I think Joel would have, or he would have lost it. Eh, maybe he goes to Jackson, but I don't know. Like, he would be devastated. But, like, I feel like Joel would be more vindicated if this happened. Because, like, hey, I lied, but also, we're going to look into giving you a cure that doesn't mean killing you. Like, we're taking time. And maybe they don't have the people, maybe they don't have the technology, but they have shown, even in this episode, that, like, if they look in the right places, you can get the right equipment. Same thing in this game that happened way later on with another person who needed medical attention. They had to go, you know, get supplies in a very horrifying place.
Here's the thing, though. Even if we assume that Ellie would have been like, okay, Joel, I understand. We'll try to find a cure. Here's the other problem, though. The only way you could make this work is if you kept it on the extreme down low. And I don't know how
you would do that.
But how would you do that? Like, all the doctors
patient
are like,
confidentiality?
All it's going to take is
patient.
You would hope people would be. But all it takes is, you know, like, you go home. Oh yeah, we were checking out that girl. Like, the girl says she's immune. You know that girl. They're saying that. Yeah, we have an observation, and then it's, oh.
Here's why I think it would work. Everyone would want this to work. People would be motivated for this to work. Hey, we have a potential cure here. We have a person who is immune. We have a potential cure here. They have a functioning city, a decently working wall. They have they have everything you would want from a civilization. They're in a perfect spot to build they're in a better spot than they were, the Fireflies were in. Arguably, you just need the people, right? And in time, you get that. In time, you could train that person. You have books, you have this. Like, if you're building up a society again, and you have a potential cure in your house, and you're building society to the point where you have a functioning hospital, why can't you build a potential person who could potentially get this cure out of her? And, you know, if you can keep her alive for 40 years, and I think this would be a more interesting story and a more interesting game, because Ellie, she's going to be trying to risk her life all the time, and they're like, you can't get killed, you are humanity. Like, so you are,
here's,
I don't know,
here's my counter argument again. I'm just gonna keep,
you just keep countering.
I'm playing my trap cards
here. I think I'm cooking here.
Here's the thing, though.
I have a point.
I think what's going to happen is, even say you get that doctor, he's going to be like, I don't give a fuck if it kills this girl. It's a cure for me. He's just going to do exactly what the Fireflies did. And they're like,
but what? That's, you're slippery soaping this, man. Like, you're like, what if this?
That's right.
What about this? What about
it? Neocon on this shit.
You're what about it? Like, you're what? Yeah. I'm calling you up, Michael. I think this would work. And this,
you don't want to bother this. What about this? What about this? You can't do one bottom of what about.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, they have a functioning hospital. It's not hard to think they wouldn't be able to do this because the Fireflies were able to do this. And I don't even think the Fireflies had it. What I'm saying is, like, this is the difference that I don't think the showrunners really thought this through. If you make Jackson this much, like, this big, this huge, and you have a functioning hospital, and you have this advance of a functioning society, why wouldn't this be an option? And this option would also dispose this whole conflict altogether.
Well, that's why they can't do it that way. So,
right. And then, that's ultimately it. And like in the game, they only had a few hundred people. It makes sense. They did not have the functionality to do this, but in the show, they had a lot more capability of doing this. They have a freaking therapist. They have people counseling. Like, if you're at a point in society where you're counseling people going through grief, you could probably work on trying to find a cure. You have 40 years as long as Ellie doesn't die, right? Essentially.
All right.
So, I don't know. That's where I'm at with it. I thought it was a good question. I thought it was like a good, like, ooh, this is potentially a, what is it, a plot error?
It could be a part three, like, point. Because it's possible could that be. Ellie, like...
Yeah. It could be a part three point, too. Especially after they rewatch this episode of Don't Evolve Me. And like, oh, shit. They didn't think of that through. Nah,
so,
probably not.
What? I did have one more question for you, and I'm trying to remember what it was now.
Okay.
Fuck, I'm going to remember this.
Ooh, I have one last one.
You say yours. I'll eventually remember mine. As I nibble on this jelly bean.
Just or not enough museum scenes.
Not enough.
I agree.
Not enough.
I agree, man. I wish this was the whole fucking episode, too.
That's why I wish, like, I think... So, okay, here's my problem.
I wish they would have slowed down with it.
Somebody pointed this out on Reddit. I was so succinct. If they're going to do three seasons, it's fine. They have picked the worst fucking possible way to, like, do this. Like, if they wanted to do that, they should have ended the season at day two, in my opinion. Killing Nora, end of the season. But they could have still had a flashback episode with the entire museum section. They could have made this work and given us more time with Pedro, because that would have really sunk it home with, like, juxtaposing that with Nora's death. That would have really hit home. Or they could have done it in a way, like, they're going really at a weird rate. That's what I don't understand, is, like, I'm fine with it being three seasons per se, and then but I'm just kind of like, how the fuck are you going to do this without adding a ton of unnecessary shit?
It could be necessary. I guess, like, I'm at just a point where, like, I don't know what they're doing here. I don't necessarily like it, but I also don't know what they're cooking up. And I want to, I don't want to judge it based on, like, where we think it might be going if they're ruining the endings. Like, I don't know what the ending is. I don't know how they're going to wrap the story up. And I feel like they're going to have to do it in a very different capacity. And I feel like they have to add a lot more stuff to it. And I'm excited where they're going with it. It's not where I would have done it, but, or how I would have done it. But I'm excited to see it. I guess, like, if they were to switch it this up, I just wish they would have really just switched up the entire story. Because I didn't know how they were going to do part two. And I still don't know how they're going to do part two. It feels clunky. I don't disagree with you there. It doesn't feel like we're... Like, I don't know if they should have end the season with episode 7, because it doesn't feel like it's going to be very satisfying, nor did the reviews really indicate that. Where it's like, maybe you should have just maybe waited another year and released season 2 as a part 1, part 2 scenario. And you had it, and then you released season 3 as like an epilogue season for California or something like that. And I think, like, that would have been a better way of doing it, whereas, like, this just feels clunky. Like, this is season 2, and this is part 1 of season 2, and this is the finale for part 1, but I don't know. I guess, like, I don't know how the next episode's going to go. I'm more or less projecting what I heard of reviews and what I think is going to happen.
I think where I'm just fairly confused, is they don't know how, because they've said they don't want to do stuff beyond, like, what the games have shown, and that's where I don't know how they're going to do three seasons. You know what I mean? Like, little bits here and there.
California.
But that's what I mean, but they said they didn't want to do stuff like that. That's where I'm like, so how are you going to do this?
We'll see. We'll see. We don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's get into the ratings. MVC, MVB. Ratings, Michael. How low are you going?
Do you want me to do my overall rating or MVC, MVB real quick? What order we usually go in. I thought it was...
Usually rating. Rating.
Three.
Ooh, I gave it 4+.
Hard three.
I fucking love this episode. I think it's a good standalone episode. I gave it 4+. It's...
I'm going to go look at what the other judgmental critics are saying on IMDb real quick.
Hot take. 4+ I honestly think it might be the best episode of the season, just based on it alone. But I think initially I walked away thinking, like, is this the best episode? I might be leaning episode two, but I'm like, it's good. It's a good episode. It's pretty great. Some of the writing's clunky. I don't know what it does for season three, season four ending.
I'm looking at the top rated episodes here.
Okay.
Episode.
Fact checking. How off are you, Jake? These are what other people think. Your subjective opinion is wrong.
It's all not wrong. I get why you have. I get your opinion.
Your subjective opinion is wrong. Look at these other subjective opinions. They do not match with you. Yours is wrong.
So, wow, that's so interesting to me. The worst rated episode of the entire show. Can you guess what episode it is? The worst.
Is it Ken?
No.
Is it the one where Joel dies?
Nope. That's actually rated at...
Is it this episode?
No. The worst episode is day one. 6.3 on IMDb. Then it's the episode after Joel dies. That's The Path. The first episode of season two is the third. Then it's Left Behind.
How is it not episode five? Because I thought that was the worst one of the season.
Was that was last episode? That's the one right after this one. That's Feel Her Love.
Feel Her Love.
Long time. Is it the 10th highest? Episode 10. I think
what's the highest episode? Three, right?
I'm cooking here. So episode 9 is Please Hold My Hand. That's the episode where they're in the first episode of Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
This last episode was episode 8.
Okay.
Then it's Kin.
Uh-huh.
Then it's the last episode of season one. It's episode 6.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, I'm just cooking there. I'm already on a roll here, so I'm going to finish this. Then it's Infected, and that's the second episode of season one.
Okay.
With the kiss scene.
The episode's not as good. I don't get it. Okay.
And then it's the episode Joel dies. It's number 3.
Hmm.
Then number
what's number two? Is it episode 8 of episode 1 or season 1?
Yep. So it's it's the David episode. And the number 1 is Endurance Arrive. So it's the salmon and it's the second episode of Kansas City. I'm shocked that's the highest rated. That's so wild to me. This is some
episode 3.
IMDb, you be wildin', dude. I don't know what you guys are all smoking on there.
I don't know. It's one of those things too. I almost mentioned this in our text. There's a difference between me and you that I think is interesting too. And I think maybe this is why our views may have differed from this episode alone and the last scene. The line, "I love you in a way you don't understand." That is like as a dad.
I think it's a beautiful line. I just think it is. For me, it's just like...
It's on the nose. I thought it was like...
That's what I didn't like about it. I loved how beautiful in the game. It's just so beautiful because it's unspoken. It's like... He's like, dude, no shit I was going to do that. Like, and he's got so much more conviction. I think that's the thing. Is like, Joel in the game is like... If the Lord could give me a second chance, I would do it all over again.
Yeah.
And then the music starts to swell in.
Hmm. It's well done. I do think Pedro Pascal nailed it. I do really like the way he delivered it, and I did tear up at least the first time when I watched this. I think it's one of those, like, I liked it. I don't know. This episode just resonated with me a lot. And, like, so in
it's
a
the
way
dad
where
episode,
I'm like,
dude, that's why.
It's the dad episode. And, like, as a father, I'm just like, okay, I get that love. I understand this. And especially like with the Tony Dalton line in the beginning where it's like, I didn't want to do this. I recognize my failure. Now I just want you to be better than my father. And I get that as a dad. I get that there's like moments because I work with kids for a living. I do behaviors at school. I'm the one who like separates the elementary kids who are fighting. And so, like, I'm burned out at the end of the day. And so, like, when my kids are fighting, when I, like, have to deal with that, I have, like, no energy. And when you do have like no energy to deal with shit, you're more yelling, you're more like ah in their face. And there's moments where like I freak out and just like fuck, I shouldn't have like swore there. Maybe I shouldn't have like cursed at them. I didn't mean to do it. And it's never to the point of like, in the scene where it's like abuse territory. But there's like moments where you're just like, fuck, I probably scared my kid there. And there's moments where you just look back as a dad, you're just like, fuck, I failed. Like, I need to do better. And I get, like, it really, like, resonated with me. And I really resonate with Joel because he's really trying. Like, that's, like, the part that's, like, so difficult is that like, he's trying his goddamn best. Like, he's going to therapy. He's trying to do better. But the thing is, he fucking fails because there's this divide of he doesn't understand Ellie. He doesn't understand what Ellie wants. But he's accepting of the fact that she wants space and be his like own person. Like he respects it at least. He goes with it. But like he just can't get past that lying. He can't pass of like dealing with the consequence of the truth. He cannot deal with those emotions. And it's so hard because it's like he's trying so hard. He's doing a lot of like the right things. He's just not doing the thing that Ellie needs. And it's so interesting to see. And this is why I like this episode. Because I'm like, there's a lot of good stuff happening here. And so like on its own merit, I'm like, I think this is a really good episode. In the grand scheme of things, I'm like, I'm more towards you. It's like, oh, I wouldn't have done it this way. But I do really like the episode. So that's why I gave it a 4+. Like in terms of like the season, I'm a little like
I'm concerned about the. I don't disagree.
I am too.
I'm
I
just.
am
I think.
too.
I think where I'm reading to you is like you're doing a better job of looking at it as a whole, and I will get. I will agree with that. It probably as a whole is probably not a bad episode. I think what concerns me is like I'm like you guys have just fundamentally altered the story in a way that you can't. The genie's out of the bottle, so you're really gonna have to put something.
You're gonna have to cook.
You're gonna have to. You better have a fucking hell of an ending, like. You better have something that makes the original part two ending look like dog shit.
You gotta match it, right?
That's
Like,
what
if
that's what I
you.
mean. But you got it. But it has to be like. But narratively, they're gonna have to work really hard now because this to me just completely like there was a flow to the story, and they just destroyed it. It's just like
I don't know if.
it's not
I
that's
don't.
that's bad, but they have just like it's not gonna.
Do they have to work hard? I don't know. Like, I don't know what they have to do.
How do you
I don't
change
know what.
without getting into spoiler territory? Because I don't want to spoil anybody. But
How do
I'll
you
just leave you a
change it?
question. When you think about the ending of a story, how do you change it to work now? Because you just, they just ripped out the most important part of it.
Instead of flashbacks, it's a dream sequence
But
that
how does that
does.
work with the content? I don't know.
I don't
Maybe.
know. Like, I wouldn't know without going further into like spoiler territory, and I wouldn't like. This is where like I think the show has to make your own story. Like I think you just have to, and I think that's where I was when we did this, season one, and we did season two predictions. I'm like, I don't know how you do this, but like, I don't know how you tell this game story. Like, you have to almost tell your own story here, and that's where I'm just like, they're telling their own story. I don't know what that looks like. I don't like season four when they get to this like moments. Maybe they have a fundamentally different ending that works in different ways and delivers a different message.
The only
And
way I
maybe.
can see it working, the only way, and I think you'll agree with this, is that they set the ending up for season four to continue on to part three. And that at that point, part three is already out or going to be out, so we already have the premise set up. That's the only way. And I'm just like, how do you do, like,
Maybe.
once again, like,
Maybe.
how do you do this? I don't understand. Like, we'll see. I don't know.
We'll see. All right, let's get to MVC, MVP. I put MVP, most valuable performer, to Pedro Pascal. Maybe it's the fact that this is his last episode ever on the show.
Is it?
Rip, it is.
Did they?
Well, they made the case that this is like his last as a main
For that,
character.
I can see. Yep.
At least that. I don't. They stated this is his last episode. I we'll see.
Dude, I just had the most fucking goated idea that they should do in season four. Have you ever seen the original announcement trailer for The Last of Us Part Two?
Probably.
It's like Ellie playing guitar,
Oh.
and. it's like that I walk through the Valley of Shadow of Death song or whatever, and then it's Joel walking into the house with all the dead bodies. I could see them putting that in there, but just obviously that would be like a dream sequence thing. That would be cool as fuck. Sorry. Anyways, I just thought about that and I was like, damn, they should do that 100%. You're welcome, H. You're welcome, Craig Mazin and Neil Druckmann. I just fed you a nice little morsel.
We have a lot of cool ideas that you don't have to give us credit for. Just take it.
Yeah. I mean, if you throw M&S in the quarter or Pixel Loose in the credits, I won't say no to that.
Or don't evolve me.
Or both, yeah.
Yeah. Michael Schumer, Jake Schumer. Mm-hmm. Anyone else for MVP? I don't know if Bella Ramsey.
I was going to say Tony Dalton. It's not a big. I'm not even. That's not even a bit.
That's fair.
Because I think he tears up a little bit at the end. It's like, I hope
he's
better.
Good.
And it's like, bring on chills. So I was like, I think his name. I think they said his name is actually Javier Miller, and I was like, I like that. So it's still like
it is.
Or
is it Javier Miller? I don't know. I think he ate. I would have to give it to Pedro, though. I think Pedro ate a little bit more on that last scene. Because I think, as a performer, I think he killed it. I think writing-wise, it could have been less words, like the game. But like just from an actor perspective, I think Pedro Pascal killed it. Just like he did Eugene. Sorry.
God, if that was the close, you know what? You should have saved that. You should have saved this segment for the very end of the episode.
Yeah.
And then left it there and then be like, and that's it for the
That's it, folks. NBC most valuable character. Ellie? Or is this Joel? Maybe this might be Joel.
It's the Joel episode. It's the Joel show. I'm gonna say I agree with you. I think it's Joel.
But like, I have Joel as the MVP though.
He can't be both. He could be both.
So it's Ellie.
He has such a. I don't think it has to. So hear me out. We see him go through like he has his two of his. He has his darkest one of his darkest moments.
Uh huh.
One of not his, but one of his darkest moments and one of his highest moments in one episode. He has the fucking museum scene. Which
and the birthday before
and the birthday before
the guitar,
which was beautiful. Like I was wondering because I think Pedro Pascal said he's not. I thought I read somewhere online. He's like, yeah, I don't sing very much. So I was like, are they gonna make him do it? Yeah, and I like that he just kind of did it his own way. But having that scene and then the scene with him as this is where I'd say he's MVP too is the Eugene scene where he's just like. I'm not fucking risking bringing a rabid dog to the community.
He's right. Yeah. I think he's absolutely.
I don't think he, like I said, I don't think he's wrong. I think he's just a douchebag for how he did it. That's where I'm like,
well, he was an asshole to Ellie because he's just like, I can lie to this girl.
Yeah.
It's for the betterment of everybody else. It's like, nah, dude, you.
Somebody said on Reddit, they're like,
you betrayed.
What he should
have
said is that because he doesn't want to disappoint her. And it's like, okay, but sometimes being a parent is saying the thing that your kid doesn't want to hear, but it's just reality. I mean, like, it's like we got to do this. Dude. This is what patrol is. It's like, sometimes you have to make some shitty fucking choices. And I'm not going to deprive you of that to make myself feel better. I think, and that's what he did.
Yeah. I think it's safe to say that Joel's not a healthy, emotionally healthy individual.
No.
Like, he's pretty fucked up. He's been pretty fucked up, and he's trying to be living a social life, and he adjusts pretty well, but he fucks up with Ellie. Mm. And, as much as he's trying, and this is why it's so hard to see, this is why this episode, I think, is amazing, is that he's trying so hard, but he's still fucking up. And I as a parent, I get that, and as a child to Gen X parents who I feel like struggle with this emotional like maturity dealing, you know, owning up the shit. Like I get that because I see it within like, you know, not just my own parents, but I see it with like, you know, people who are from that generation around me. Like I see them struggling with that. Like, I want my kid to try, you know, and I want to connect with them and all these different things. It's like, well, have you just talked to him and figured out how to make that work? No, you're trying to do, you know, all these other things to send these. It's like, no, just talk to them. Like, there's clear disconnect. Fucking talk to them.
Yeah.
And I feel like for Joel in this scenario, like, this shouldn't have been a thing if you just talked with Ellie as a person, like an Obi-Wan Anakin type of role, not a father daughter thing. Like, and this is where I think he lost the plot. When they're on the trail, they're equals. They had to be partners, right? He needed her. In society, there's that clear, like, generational
rift.
That
part where she's like, it's not your house, Joel. They gave it to us.
I was like, damn.
Every fucking NBC. Kid in there, every person that, everybody that's ever had a parent throw that line at them, if you ever had the opportunity to throw some shit like that, you're like, oh, I'm taking my shot.
I got the gun. I'm going to lose that ball. Like, boom, gotcha.
How you gonna, and he's just like, you can see it, like, he had the thinking, you know, like when you're cooking something, and it's just like, deet, deet, deet.
It's like, it was just like the whole idea is like, fuck, this isn't like how it was.
Yeah.
This is, like, we're not back in 2003. This is 2028. Or, you know, I can't do this shit. Or I guess, no, technically it was 2027. That's a whole 24 years. God damn.
Yeah, that would be a fucking wild jump.
So, yeah, all right. MVP, I have Joel just because I think, like, he is the villain of this episode, more or less. Like, he was the villain of, like, he's, like, the protagonist, but also the anti-hero.
Yeah.
Like, otherwise I have Seth, but I'm like, he's not, like, he's in the background. Eugene kind of is the conflict.
Yeah, but he's not really a villain, yeah.
I would say Joel's probably the most villainous.
If anything, I think you would agree with this. Ellie is more of a villain in this episode than Joel. In, not exactly, but you could
she's
argue.
She's the antagonist. Mm-hmm. Ooh, which might be. No, I'm not going to say it. Anyway, this was Don't Evolve Me. Fresh takes. Get your fresh takes here. Talking Last of Us, Season 2, Episode 6, The Price is Right, with Michael Schumer, a.k.a. Pixel Loose. Yeah, that's what I'm writing on the YouTube page,
like
The Price is Right. All right. Well, anything else to add before we sign off here? Or I guess we technically signed off.
I don't know, man. I can't believe we're at the end of the season. There's a lot of highs, a lot of lows. I think we're going to end with a lot of confusion. That's my guess.
It's going to be a good last couple episodes for us as we talk season three predictions. Mm-hmm. But we have one more episode to go. Might be the aquarium episode.
Oh, it has to be, right?
You think. I don't know. I don't know at this point. Who knows?
Yeah, it's all very up in the air.
All right, Michael. Till next time.
See you later, brother.